This is Maryland Morning on 88.1. I'm Sheila Cast. Now we're going to look at an innovation in how we monitor the Earth from space. Dr. Vanderlei Martens is a professor of physics at the University of Maryland, Baltimore County, UMBC. He's here to tell us more about a type of satellite called a CubeSat, so small you could carry it in a backpack. Martens is the principal investigator of a new project that uses this technology. He's working with students, professors, and NASA engineers and scientists to build a CubeSat that will investigate aerosol particles and clouds in the atmosphere. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Let's start with the obvious. What is a CubeSat?
So a CubeSat is a very small satellite, and the idea was conceived in the end of the 90s that you would have a satellite that basically you can fit in your hands. So the one cube of the CubeSat is 4 inches by 4 inches by 4 inches, mm-hmm. and weighs about 1 kilogram or slightly over 2 pounds. So if you put three of them together in line, you have basically the shape of a loaf of bread that you can now fit with instrumentation, and then you send it to space to do some sort of measurement of interest.
The White House has a goal to have, that every state should have a CubeSat in space. Where are we in reaching that goal?
So the CubeSat is a small enough satellite that usually is made by students at universities. And that can allow, you know, as the White House has this goal, that every state has its own CubeSat in space, doing some sort of science or engineering test. And we are pretty close to that. I think most states are reaching that level.
And other than being smaller, how do CubeSats compare to other satellites, regular satellites?
So regular satellite is much bigger spacecraft that you can put more instrumentation, so you can have more power collected from bigger solar panels in space, and you have more resources to do more measurements. So for instance, we have satellites looking at weather, we have satellites looking at clouds, looking at pollution, looking at the ocean, so there are many applications. So a CubeSat is a similar type of spacecraft, but of a much smaller size, so you have less resources in a CubeSat. So it is also a much cheaper type of satellite.
And how is a CubeSat launched?
So it's launched similarly to the bigger satellites, except that you don't have your own rocket for a small CubeSat. So usually you take a ride with a bigger payload. So when they are launching bigger satellites, they usually have space left. They actually need some ballast, so they need some additional weight in different parts of the rocket to balance it. Mm. So one of the ideas of the CubeSat was to use this space and to use this opportunity to put small experiments
in
space.
It's kind of a free ride.
It's kind of a free ride, except it's never free.
It does a lot. On WYPR, this is Maryland Morning. I'm Sheila Cast, speaking with Dr. Vanderlei Martens, professor of physics at UMBC. We're talking about a project he leads that studies aerosol particles and clouds to better understand climate change. I've just stepped on what I wanted to ask you. What will your CubeSat study?
So our CubeSat is designed to measure aerosol particles and cloud particles. So aerosols are small particles in suspension in the atmosphere. So basically dust or pollution particles that could come from smoke, from forest fires, for instance, or emissions from factories or from cars. So these are basically small particles, liquid and solid particles in suspension in the atmosphere. Now, these particles are very important for Earth's atmosphere. So as an example, there would be no clouds on Earth if it wasn't for aerosol particles. So for the water vapor in the atmosphere to form droplets and eventually form clouds, they need these particles. So the water vapor condenses around these particles and grow as cloud droplets.
So I just feel the need to say the obvious. A lot of us think of aerosols as something that comes out of a spray can. Aerosol means much more than that to a scientist.
Aerosol is much more than that. So what comes out of a aerosol can is called aerosol also, but any of these particles, liquid or solid particles in suspension in the atmosphere, is what we call aerosol. So when you look at the window and the sunlight is entering the room and you see those particles floating around, so those particles are aerosol particles.
So why study aerosols and clouds?
As I was saying, aerosols have a lot of effects in the atmosphere. So one of them is the radiative balance or the energy balance of the planet. So when solar light comes to Earth and warms up Earth, it first interacts with the atmosphere. So these aerosol particles in suspension in the atmosphere can, first of all, reflect sunlight back to space, causing a cooling effect on the atmosphere. Or, depending on the particle, they could absorb sunlight in the atmosphere, causing a warming effect on the atmosphere. So aerosols, first of all, can interact with this energy balance of the planet. Second is what I was saying initially. So because aerosols are essential for the formation of clouds in the atmosphere, aerosols have a direct link with precipitation. So if you have a region where you have more aerosols, you are going to have different types or different characteristics of the clouds and precipitation than you have when you look at a region that has less aerosols or it's cleaner.
So I'm not sure I understand what your CubeSat is going to learn from these clouds.
So our CubeSat is very high up in space, 400 kilometers away, looking at Earth and basically making images of Earth. So very large images of Earth, measuring different colors of light or wavelengths, and also measuring what we call polarization. So with this information, we can tell the amount of aerosols that you have in the atmosphere and the type of aerosols that we have in the atmosphere. We also can tell some properties of the clouds. So you can look at how much cloud cover you have in a given region, and we can measure the size of the droplets in the cloud. By knowing the size of the droplets in the cloud, we can study how efficiently that cloud can behave in terms of precipitation. Is it going to rain in a given place or not? We're not going to be able to make that prediction with our measurements, but we will collect statistics that will help us to understand how the whole system works.
How did you decide that a CubeSat was the right tool for you to use to explore these questions?
So we use also bigger satellites to make these measurements. So we have now satellites in space that are on the size of a school bus, completely full of instruments, doing all sorts of measurements. And we need them, so we will continue in that direction. On the other hand, a CubeSat is a small satellite at a much lower cost, where you can test new ideas, where you can develop new instrumentation, and then send it to space and do those measurements. That eventually, we also want those measurements in bigger satellites. But if we can do that first in a CubeSat, we can develop it further, so we can learn much more.
Does this small technology, this CubeSat, get students more involved in your research?
We definitely have more students involved in CubeSat because if you are building a CubeSat, you can take more risk. So you can, because it's a much cheaper satellite than the bigger ones, you end up taking more risk, you end up investing more in innovation, you end up involving more younger scientists and younger engineers in developing this type of project.
I really appreciate your talking to us about it. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Dr. Vanderlei Martens, professor of physics at UMBC. He talked to us about a collaborative CubeSat project he leads. It's called HARP, or Hyperangular Rainbow Polarimeter. We've got more information on our website, wypr.org/Maryland Morning. More of this conversation, too. Maryland Morning is an original production
of your public radio,
WYPR,
in Baltimore.
The show is produced by Matt Purdy
and Jana McCone.
We have production help from
Estelle Klein
and Catherine Sway.
Nathan Sterner directs and engineers.
I'm Tom Hall.
And I'm Sheila Cast. On this day in Maryland history, 1669, a legal writ was issued to a sheriff in Dorchester County on the Eastern Shore. It's the first record that Dorchester County existed. We exist, and we'll be back Wednesday. Hope you'll join us.